At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview one of the Detroit Lions' divisional opponents. We're going to preview the NFC North, taking a closer look at the Green Bay Packers with a guest who covers the franchise. We do a dive into the Green Bay roster, hear thoughts on the Detroit Lions from a divisional rival, and discuss projected NFC North standings, information that will help you fully prepare for the 2024 NFL season. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jameer Gibbs, and you listen to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by Lauren Helmbrecht, sports reporter for the CBS affiliate WFRV-TV out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can find her work at wearegreenbay.com. Lauren also worked at NFL Films and pitched story ideas for HBO's Hard Knocks. Great to have you back as a guest on the show, Lauren. And how have you been?
I've been great, Matthew. It's so good to see you again. We have just been chugging along this summer. Training camp in Green Bay is a huge production. I personally have not ridden any bikes, but I've seen a lot of players holding helmets, maybe carrying a two-year-old's bike, and some guys definitely get on there and pedal their way to practice.
I caught some of that the other day when you guys had the Ravens in town and Lamar Jackson was even riding a bike. And so, it is definitely an event there in Green Bay. Well, let's as we get started, recap about last season real quick. You know, the Lions finished 12-5, Packers 9-8, Vikings and Bears were 7-10. And I think that was pretty close to where you and I thought the division was going to go last year. And so let me ask you, how are Packers fans feeling at the end of the season? Because they had that second half run where they won 6 out of their final 8 regular season games, including the final 3 to end the season. They had that playoff game that nobody thought they were going to win against Dallas. So how are Packers fans feeling when it all ended last year?
I mean, overwhelmed with excitement and possibility and hope is what I would say, because the big test last season was, is Jordan Love the guy? We've seen him sit behind Aaron Rodgers. We know that he's learned and developed in the system, but can he be the guy? And when the first half of the season was going on, it was kind of looking bleak. I mean, there were a couple of times there where the Packers just were losing and losing and losing. And it was hard to know what this team's identity was. But the big takeaway was that Jordan Love needed more time with his receivers. Once he got that more time, you could really see the potential. And he had one of the best, if not the best, turnover to interception ratio in the second half of the season. He led the Packers into Cowboys territory and absolutely dominated them at Jerry's World. Just that game was unbelievable. I don't even think most of us in the media were expecting that. And I think it'd be fair to say some of the Packers players weren't even expecting that kind of a beatdown. And then truly the Packers, both on the team side and the fan side, feel that they were just one play away from beating San Francisco as well. So I think all of those factors contributed into Jordan signing his contract this offseason. But if you're asking about the vibe is very good, was very good in January, was almost like, wow, if we can do this with one season of Jordan Love and experience with his receivers, what can we do with 2, 3, 4? And as from a media's perspective, a lot of possibility is what we would say.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think some of those feelings resonate over on this side of the lake as well. I mean, before the Lions kicked off for their wild card game in Detroit, My wife and I were watching on somebody's phone the game with the Cowboys and the Packers, and I think we were in just as much disbelief as anybody else. And Lions fans understand that one play away from beating San Francisco as well. So, but a lot's changed since then. And for the Packers, let me tell you, I mean, let me tell you, you're going to reiterate this stuff. But there's a lot that's changed. So let me go over just some of the big things that have adjusted since the season ended. You guys made some big free agent signings. Some headliners are Xavier McKinney, safety from the New York Giants. You gave him a 4-year, $68 million deal. You bring in Josh Jacobs, the Raiders running back, for 4-year, $48 million deal. Jordan Love gets his mega contract. We're going to talk about that shortly. That keeps him there long term. And then the draft. First round, you grab Jordan Morgan, Arizona tackle. Second round, you have two picks here. You get a linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, and Javon Bullard, a safety out of Georgia. In the third round, there's two more picks. You get a running back, Marshawn Lloyd, out of your alma mater, USC, and linebacker Tyron Hopper out of Missouri. And then you throw in a fourth round pick. You get a safety out of Oregon and Evan Williams. That's some serious draft capital there. Along with those free agent additions, is there any big key potential additions that I haven't covered?
This is not the most glamorous position battle of all time, but Packers fans definitely care about the kicking battle. So Green Bay drafted Anders Carlson not this past season, but the year before. And when we're talking about that one or two play away, well, in San Francisco, he missed a really important field goal. And a couple of times during the season, felt like, the cards were right there. He had missed a couple really important field goals in games that came down to one, 2, or 3 points. And then it happened again in San Francisco. So during the offseason, Greg Joseph, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, he came in. They're currently trying to figure out who's going to end up being the kicker. And then the Packers just gave their international player pathway program. They gave their designation to Alex Hale out of Australia. He's also a kicker. So currently the kicking competition is something that it's not very exciting, maybe on paper, but when it comes down to it, the kicker's job is to make their kicks during pivotal moments. And at points that did not happen last season. So the battle, but who's going to be the starting kicker is kind of between those three. I'll be honest, it's more between Greg and Anders, but Alex is there too.
You have any, are
It's
you thinking it's Anders is in the lead right now?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't feel like neither of them are kicking higher than 80% of any much higher than 80% of the way through training camp, including the preseason games. And I was listening to another podcast that was crunching those numbers compared to last year, and 80% puts you in the 20s of overall kicking percentage. So it doesn't feel like one is really kicking their way to the top right now, but I can't even tell you if the Packers kicker is in the locker room right now. I think they would like it to be Anders or Greg. I think Greg and Anders would like it to be one of them, but I don't know if either of them have done enough to make me feel confident in saying, oh, we have the kicker, especially when the Packers just had joint practice with the Baltimore Ravens and Justin Tucker was in the house, and I saw what Justin Tucker can do. That's obviously a little not fair to compare to the best, but the Packers would love to find their own Justin Tucker. Let me say that.
Yes, wouldn't we all love for that? And I think we've done one thing I'm sure of is we've probably spent way too much time talking about the kicker position in football. But it is vital and it can come down to some important moments in a game. But let's move on. Let's move to the offense. Let's move to quarterback Jordan Love, major contract, lots of praise. Let me ask you, are Packers fans just ecstatic about this contract extension based on what they saw in half a season? Are some of them apprehensive and nervous? What's your take on that feeling?
I'd say yes to all of the above. I think people are very excited that Jordan Love is the guy. The Packers are not known for living in quarterback turmoil when it comes to indecisions or not knowing who's going to be behind the line of scrimmage. Green Bay has now gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, who have all learned from their predecessor and taken some of those skills, translated them into their own. However, I will say that Jordan has half a season of good football play under his belt. And so some people are rightfully skeptical in saying, have we seen enough? Do we know for sure? Do we know that that wasn't just a one-off or a really hot stretch and this is something that's sustainable? Now, I can't say that the Packers organization does not think it was a hot streak. That is just who he is, and that he has things that he can work on to improve and be even better. So I'd say the big things that he's been working on this training camp were when he's scrambling, when he's moving his feet, he still has his eyes down the field so that he can extend plays, not just with his feet. And then also working on the deep ball. There were a couple games last season where one or two of plays, he airs it out. Christian Watson has the speed. He's down the field and the ball is not connecting with his receiver. So this season, I wouldn't be surprised if there are more of those plays, but Jordan's able to connect more of them because it's been such a point of emphasis. But to your original question, the vibes are excited. It's hopeful, like I've been saying, but people do know that there's not a lot of a huge body of work that Jordan has just yet. And so they really, really want to see more of that Dallas game. They want to see more of those kind of plays, more connections with the wide receivers, more unbelievable plays where you think, is that Aaron Rodgers reincarnate? And I think once the season starts and once Jordan's playing, because obviously this preseason he hasn't done a lot, connected with Dontayvion Wicks for a 65-yard touchdown, that's pretty much all we've seen. So this regular season needs to start before people feel one way or the other committed to this contract.
That makes sense. And a lot of times contracts are done on faith and belief and potential. And I think that's probably where the Packers found themselves. Now, I got to give you some major credit here because last year when we talked and did the season preview, you specifically said, judge Jordan Love on his second game against the Lions, not his first game. And you were spot on with that because the second half of the season was a different quarterback. And so I got to ask you, now he's got that full season under his belt, a full season of training camp after having gone through a full season as a starter. Do you still see him rising? Do you see him looking as good in camp as last year, better than last year? How's he looking in camp right now? And again, congratulations on calling that accurately last year.
Thank you. I was just waiting, eagerly awaiting you to just give me my flowers for my prediction. No, I appreciate that, Matthew. I think he's looking better than he looked last year in training camp, and that's because of those games and that experience. Because you have to think last season, they are learning how to work with each other. This is a young wide receiver core, and it still is very young, that hadn't worked with Jordan as a quarterback. I mean, they've been practicing with him with the twos, but Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson were over with the ones that whole time. So you're really not getting that many reps with your new future QB when you're on two different sides of the field during practice. So now, when it's a whole training camp where Jordan is the one and these wide receivers who are the ones are working with him, now they're implementing, now they're doing new things. Jordan has the opportunity to call plays during some of the 2-minute drills. So they're now implementing new plays in practice because of Jordan's connection with his team. So yes, he is getting better. Now, is he perfect? Obviously not. Against the Ravens in training camp, he had a pick during one of the team periods, but he also had four red zone touchdowns against one of the, if not the best defense in the NFL. So he is looking good. He is the connection, of course, I just keep saying that, but the connection is really developing and it's very obvious with Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson. The wide receiver room, I assume we'll probably talk about that later, still as deep as it was last year, but he continues to get better. And I do not think that he's reached his full potential, which for other teams is frightening. For Packers fans, very exciting.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, especially NFC North fans. Yeah, we're waiting to see what happens. We're not passing any judgments, and you can only imagine what Packers, I mean, what Vikings, Lions, and Bears fans might be thinking right now is like, is lightning going to hit three times in a bottle? But We'll find out. There's a lot that can happen, and those wide receivers are going to play a pivotal role in Jordan Love's ability to prosper. So let's go there, because last year they were extremely young. And so I'm wondering, are we expecting another step up from these receivers? You know, Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed led the team last year, I believe, with 64 and 59 catches each. Christian Watson battled injury last year, but now he has had the offseason to work on recovering from that. You know, you've got Luke Musgrave, who's now getting into his second year at tight end. I believe he had 34 catches last year in his rookie season, which is pretty solid for a tight end. So how is this receiving core looking, and is it looking potentially as good as it sounds like it is on paper?
So it's still as young as we all feel it is. I mean, they have one season under their belt, but still a very young core. I think one of the things that the Packers have that other teams might undervalue is that Green Bay doesn't have a true wide receiver one. Matt LaFleur was asked about it a couple weeks ago and said, ugh, that makes me want to vomit whenever you ask me about wide receiver one. And he did not throw up, let it be known. But he does not like the idea of a wide receiver one, because we talk about it all the time. Hey, where's your Davante Adams? Hey, where's your guy? The Packers don't have that. They have a bevy of top potential pass catchers. Last season, there were over a dozen different pass catchers who led that individual game in receiving. So at any given game, some guy will step up. The first guy who had over 100 yards receiving in a game last season was Bo Melton. We haven't even mentioned Bo Melton, and he's still on the team. So if you're thinking about the weapons that Green Bay has, awesome. If you're thinking about your fantasy team, not great, because you have no chance of winning in a wide receiver room if you have a Packer, because it could be anyone on any given day. Now, we're talking about Christian Watson. This offseason, he went down to UW-Madison to try and figure out what had happened with his hamstring. He kept getting injured, and that really hurt, because I do think people thought he was going to be the wide receiver one just based on his speed. And he just was injured so much over his first couple of seasons. Well, he found out that he was not carrying his strength equally between his legs. And so therefore one hamstring was way weaker than the other. So he spent all of the offseason just trying to figure out how to strengthen that hamstring so that he can have that equal strength. And he seems to think that he's figured that out. And the Packers do too. So now Christian Watson is stronger and healthier and has a whole year of experience with Jordan Love under his belt. Watch out with that. Romeo Doubs is still the exact same player. He runs routes phenomenally. Everyone notices his route running. And he's got hands like no other. Some of the catches I see him make in practice, it's like the quick twitch is what I would call it, where he just up, grabs the ball, and brings it down so fast. I can't imagine how he does that. Jaden Reed, the king of an end around. At any given moment, that man will do an end around that ends up with a 60-yard catch and run. And then Dontavian Wicks is kind of your all-around guy. He also does really well route running. He can get a lot of separation from the secondary. Luke Musgrave, very talented. He hasn't really shown in camp, I would say. I'd say he's kind of chugging along. And then you got to keep an eye on Tucker Kraft. He's their other tight end. Another second-year player was drafted last season by the Packers. He had a pec injury this offseason, so he was recovering and had to miss the first couple of days of training camp. But I would not be surprised if Tucker Kraft has a breakout season this year too. So did I list enough pass catchers for you, Matthew? Do you have your whole roster in front of you?
Yeah, I wish I could share your enthusiasm for all these pass catchers, because – that there are a number there. And if Christian Watson has figured out some things on staying healthy, I agree. He's the guy that we thought would be the number one guy there. And obviously injury and stuff didn't allow that last year. But yeah, there is screaming potential right there. And maybe that's part of the reason the Lions took defensive backs with the first two picks in the draft this year, because the Bears have a pretty good receiving core too. And the Vikings have a couple good receivers as well. And sort of the Lions, if I'm going to throw, you know, the whole division in there, it's going to be a division, and it's going to be a divisional fight. And we're going to get to that at the end of this. But NFC North is going to have some amazing football this year, I expect. So let's put the ball on the ground a little bit, not literally, but figuratively. Let's go to running back. Okay. You guys brought in Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, okay? I wasn't thrilled about this because I think that's an addition to your team. I think that's an improvement. Now, people will say Jacobs had a down year last year, but there were a lot of factors that go into that. He's only 26 years old as well. I think the one thing that I saw was his yards per carry was lower last year. That was the only thing that really maybe concerned me. But let's just focus just on him right now and comparing the Packers bringing him in and moving on from Aaron Jones, who I know is a few years older. What's your take on that whole situation and how that all came about?
Football's a business and it's tough, is my takeaway. Aaron Jones was one of the key factors for the Packers' late season push. He was a stalwart in the locker room, just a really great person to work with, and just a really great guy. Someone that there's a video that you may have seen where one of the wide receivers kind of had his head down after missing a play, and Aaron Jones physically lifts his helmet up and said, "Don't do that. Keep your head up." That's just who he was as a person. And towards the end of the season and after the season, GM Brian Gutekunst was asked whether or not they're going to keep Aaron Jones and if he's going to come back. And he made it sound like the answer was yes. But the thing is, Aaron Jones had taken a pay cut to go into the 2023 season to kind of help the team as a whole. So he deserved to be paid and he was expecting to be paid. And so when ultimately he and his team could not figure out the correct compensation, that's when the divorce happened because he deserved to make the money, in my opinion, as well. And it seemed like he knew that there was a number that he wanted. And if the Packers couldn't get there, then maybe this just isn't going to work. So now he's at the Minnesota Vikings. There are some people who feel like that was a little bit shady, whatever. I personally think at that point, you do what you got to do. He wants to continue his career. Running back is a very young and hard game. And I personally think it's one of the most devalued financially positions in the NFL right now. So he's in Minnesota. I wish him the best. I look forward to seeing him twice a year. And I hope you do too, even though obviously it's a competitor, but he is a very great person to work with. So then the Packers bring Josh Jacobs. And the actual timeline was, a couple hours earlier in the day, the Packers signed Josh Jacobs. For a few hours, people are posting, "This is the best 1-2 combo in the league." And then Aaron Jones leaves. So that's kind of a bummer. But the way the running back market works right now, if you can go younger, you're going to go younger because you want to save the money, quote unquote. And Jacobs' contract is a little interesting when it comes to the total years and the total amount that he's going to get paid. But he has a lot to prove. He feels like the way things ended in Las Vegas is not how he wants his career to be looked at. He has some connections with some Packers as well. He knows Keyshawn Nixon. They played with the Raiders, played for the Raiders together. And then he knows Rich Bisaccia, the Packers special teams coordinator. So they gave him some heads up about what Green Bay is all about. One thing I always talk about is when we first talked to him, "Oh, how do you like Wisconsin? How do you like Green Bay?" "Oh, it's great. It kind of reminds me of Alabama because all we do is football. There's not much else to distract you." And I don't think he said that pejoratively or with any ill intent. I think he genuinely just says, "Hey, I could just focus on ball." But he has a lot to prove this season. He knows that he's going to walk into this room and be the RB1. The Packers also re-signed AJ Dillon to a pretty friendly, family deal kind of contract to bring him back. Dylan has the most experience in this playbook, so I think that he will be an asset to the team. But realistically, it's Josh Jacobs' running back room, and he is the leader in there because of the body of work that he's already put on tape.
All right, well, seeing him in camp has do you, does he looking good in camp? Do you think when he walks in, he is going to be at the level Aaron Jones has played at in the last couple of years? Do you think he might be considered even a little step above that?
I do think he's a step above that just because he's younger. Aaron Jones, as well as he did last season, was very injury prone. And I think we forget about that because he did so well at the end of the season. But there was one game where I think they lost three running backs in the same game. It was
I remember
one,
that game.
two, three. And we just kept getting the injury reports and going, "Do they even have who else can play running back? Is Jaden Reed going to be running back?" That was kind of a joke, but we really didn't know what was happening. So as much as you could look at Aaron Jones' stats and see the 100-yard games and how well he did, he was really injury prone. So that's kind of a benefit for Josh Jacobs, is he hasn't necessarily been known for getting a lot of injuries. He's looking great in practice. I will say, versus maybe the wide receivers, it's almost harder to gauge a running back during training camp because it's not live periods. And so you can bust through the middle when Quay Walker taps you on your shoulder. But if Quay Walker is going to tackle you with his full might, it's kind of hard to see if that was going to be a 10-yard gain versus a 20-yard gain. So he's not getting a lot of, obviously, game reps. He doesn't need them during this preseason. So again, I kind of have to say, let's see how he does in Brazil. I think he does have that quick step. He has that excitement. He wants to prove himself, but it's harder to gauge a running back during training camp when you're not actually tackling.
That makes total sense. And you know, I too do think he elevates that room as well. Those are my thoughts the moment they signed him and that was announced. As you already mentioned, they brought A.J. Dillon back to have a known quantity there in the backup position. And then, you know, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. Have you seen anything out of him in training camp? Presumably the number three running back.
Presumably, yes. He's also had a couple of injuries during training camp, so he's missed some time. He's been the first to tell us that he needs to get back in football shape. I think with the injuries, it's hard to do that. So I don't know where he's going to start if he continues to have these injuries. So is he going to have to start on the injured list? Is he going to have to start on the third string? I don't know. Emmanuel Wilson is a very, very viable third string running back. He got elevated a couple of times last year, especially when the Packers had all of those injuries. So obviously when you draft someone, you want to keep them on your team. I expect Marshawn Lloyd to be that third string running back, but if per se he has to start the season with an injury, I wouldn't be surprised if Emmanuel Wilson slots into that third running back. And then when Marshawn is no longer injured, Emmanuel goes down to the practice squad like he spent a majority of last season.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. Well, the only last thing to talk about on offense is the very crucial offensive line. How has that looked in general? What's the confidence level there with your offensive line this year?
I think the confidence is pretty strong. I think this year's call to task was to try to figure out the composition of the line. Obviously, Jordan Morgan is getting drafted to the Packers. He's a tackler out of Arizona. But right when he gets drafted, all of these comments are about his arm length, arm length, arm length. Do you think that he might be better as a guard? What about maybe being a guard? Do you think he's going to be a guard? And the team kept saying, well, we've drafted him because he's a tackle and he did really well as a tackle. And then Jordan Morgan says, I'm a tackle. I do really well as a tackle. And then inevitably during training camp, he's playing both tackle and guard. So I think the composition of the line is something that we will have to see. Sean Ryan was a very successful backup last season. He's trying to move into one of those starting positions, but then the Packers draft Morgan in his same spot. So now it's trying to figure out, is Sean Ryan going to be the guy? Is Jordan Morgan going to be the guy? Jordan Morgan also had some injuries during this training camp. And then you still have Elgton Jenkins. You still have Josh Myers, some of those players who have really helped keep this offensive line strong throughout the years. But I don't think the Packers know who their starting five on their offensive line is right now because they can move people around. Zach Tom is kind of a Swiss Army knife when it comes to the line. They can move him anywhere. And he also was a little injured. So again, when people are back and healthy and everyone is at their peak or at least 70 or 80% there, then the Packers will decide their five offensive linemen. Right now, when Zach's injured, but then Morgan's not injured, and then Sean, whatever. It's a little too hard to figure out because they are mixing with a lot of people who aren't at full strength.
Makes sense. Sounds like the first regular season game is when we're going to kind of get some of that answer and see what it looks like in live football. Now,
completely.
The Packers offense finished 12th in points scored last year, averaging 22.5 points a game. Do you expect the offense to be similar to that, improve from that? I'm guessing you're not going to say worse than that, but I'm going to leave that as an option out there as well. What are your thoughts by the end of the season? How will the Packers offense look?
I think they will be better than that. I think last year they struggled at points in the red zone where they would get the ball down to the red zone and then still not really be able to score. And then occasionally it'd be a missed kick, and so they come away with nothing. So I do think that they will be better than that. That is my final answer.
All right. Well, then let's switch over to the other side of the ball. Last time when we spoke last year, you talked about how the defense had lots of talented individuals, but that the whole might not be quite as good as the sum of its parts. And that being said, by the end of the season, the defense was ranked 10th in points allowed, which was actually a pretty good number and a pretty good representation of the evolution. There's been free agency. There's been draft picks added into this as well. How's the Packers defense looking to you?
Different. The Packers bring in Jeff Hafley as their new defensive coordinator, the former Boston College head coach. He switches the Green Bay defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3. So now we got hands in the dirt. We have more of an aggressive mindset. Rashawn Gary absolutely loves it. He feels like he can go out and play free. Quay Walker is saying the same thing. Quay Walker is wearing the green dot, so he's kind of running the defense as that linebacker position. And to the sum of its parts versus the whole, I think this scheme caters more to the individuals to therefore make them better as a whole. I think something that we've really noticed recently is how the defensive line being disruptive is benefiting the secondary. So Evan Williams is the rookie out of Oregon that you mentioned. He's snagged 5 interceptions so far during training camp, including the preseason. But he would be the first to tell you that he's not getting those picks unless Devontae Wyatt, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark are causing havoc at the line of scrimmage. And I think at times last season, it felt disjointed where the defense wanted to do something, but the scheme maybe didn't allow for it, or the play call didn't allow for it, or whatever it was. Joe Barry was a really, really nice guy, very well respected. People really like him. And that's what almost makes it hard, is because the defense and his defense was not doing well. So you got to say goodbye to someone who's not successful in that capacity. But I don't think people have bad words to say about him as a person. You bring in Jeff Hafley, and Jeff Hafley then brings in a lot of new coaches to complement this scheme. Players are excited. They feel like they have a lot to prove. And against the Ravens in this joint practice, they were in the backfield a lot. Again, joint practice, you're not doing full tackling, but it did look like Lamar Jackson was scrambling quite a bit. He's known for using his feet, but to me, it was because the defensive line was penetrating more so than because Lamar Jackson was just scrambling. So I'd say this year, a big point of emphasis is turnovers, getting interceptions, being able to turn the ball over and give the ball back to your offense. Packers struggled in that last season. And so if the defensive line continues to be as disruptive, Jaire Alexander, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, they'll be able to snag a couple picks to give the ball back to Jordan Love.
All right. Are you thinking with the defense then? Do you think it's going to be, if you were to compare it to last year's defense, you put it on par? You put it slightly improved?
Oh, no.
Or?
I definitely put it better. I think last year's defense had some highs and lows, but the lows were really low. This year, I think it will be better.
All right. Well, then let's do a little scouting report for the whole team in general. Where are the Packers going to be the strongest this year, you think? What's going to be their strength?
I think their strength will be in the wide receivers because of the depth. I think there will be games where your favorite wide receiver has 2 catches, but the team scores 3 touchdowns out of the air. And it wasn't your guy, but that's okay because they have another guy and another guy and another guy. And as the team continues to build their relationship with Jordan and continues to feel strongly with him, I think Jordan's talent paired with the depth will make this wide receiver room the highlight of the team.
From speaking with you, I don't think there's a single weakness on the team other than maybe the kicking position. But
the kicking.
What would be the biggest weakness of this team?
No, it's not exciting, but it is the kicking. I don't feel confident that the Packers for sure have their best option in kicker in this locker room. I think that knowing how much potential this team had last year, and then what was lost because of one or two kicking mistakes. The Packers can't afford that this year. This feels like you're paying Jordan Love. You have this talented young group who's really excited. You bring in a new defense. They want to win, obviously, but they want to win now. And they feel like they kind of need to win now because they just gave Jordan all this money. And it's not because they think he'll be great in 5 years. They think he's going to be great right now. And that's why they paid him right now. And so the Packers can't afford to lose a game by 2 points because of a missed field goal. They can't afford to not advance in the playoffs because of a missed kick. They can't afford to lose a game by one because they missed a PAT earlier in the game that didn't seem like a big deal, and then it came to bite them in the butt. So yes, it's not the sexiest position group, but I don't think that people should overlook that the Packers need the kicking to be as good as it can be. Kicking's never perfect, but as good as it can be, so that is a non-factor. It needs to be a non-factor, Matthew.
That makes a lot of sense, and that's something else Lions fans can talk about as well. And I think we're starting to feel pretty good that we may have found our kicker, but that's been a little bit of a carousel as well over on our side of the lake. Well, let's talk about the Lions from the Green Bay perspective here. We did win the NFC North last year, but it was again the first time in a long time. But most people were expecting us to win it as well, so it's not like we shocked people. And I don't think we had this magical season. I mean, the season was magical, but it didn't come out of nowhere. We weren't like the Vikings the year before when they suddenly were like 13-4 or something, and nobody knew how that happened. No disrespect to Vikings fans out there, just that was a surprise. But how are you? How are Packers fans viewing the Lions as we get ready to kick off for 2024?
People are definitely not overlooking the Lions, especially after last season. I think Green Bay feels confident in the fact that they were able to split last year with the Lions, especially given how well the Lions were doing. And from my perspective, I think a split with the Lions again this year would be a win because the Lions do have that depth. They're returning a lot of players and they've been composing this scary team. So I think a split would be a win, and then maybe a date again in the postseason. The Packers kind of felt like they were on a crash course to run into the Lions last year once things got going. And so I definitely think, and this is so annoying to say because this is what people always say, but the Packers are really focusing on themselves right now. And I'm kind of rolling my eyes as I say that, but I do genuinely believe that because there are so many things that are going on with this team that they can't spend a lot of time looking at their left and their right because they have to just figure out how to get this to where it needs to be. And then once we're in the regular season, the Packers are going to figure it out from there. But right now, if they're talking about, oh, I did you see who the Lions added XYZ? Well, that's taking time away from focusing on themselves. And maybe I've worked in football for too long because I sound like such a cliche right now, but I actually think that in the locker room, at least, people aren't really paying attention to what's going on around in the NFC North because if they're doing that, who knows? Someone could come up and take their spot on the team. So they got to focus on themselves.
Oh yeah, no, I completely agree about in the locker room being solely focused in house and whatnot. But just following up on that, how about Packers fans? Have you heard stuff from fans at all about the NFC North? And again, we'll get into the predictions here in a minute. But anything from them about the Lions and how they are they expecting the Lions to be competitive again, or are they thinking, hey, we want to see you prove it again before we believe you?
No, I definitely think that the vibe is that the Lions are who they are right now, which is a good thing. They're good. People aren't really talking about, oh, the Lions think they're better than they are, or, oh, the Lions were a fraud season. I think people respect the fact that no, the Lions are just actually that solid of a team. I'd say the biggest points of conversation right now are really about the Bears and Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and trying to figure out what that actually is because Caleb Williams has as much hype as any player coming out of college does. And then adding Rome Odunze coming out of UW, a very interesting wide receiver room with a really interesting quarterback. And the Bears have done very well in the preseason. So I'd say a big topic of conversation amongst Packers Twitter, if you say, would be, what's up with the Bears? Are they actually legit? Are they not? And if I'm going to interpret that even further, I would say people are trying to figure out if it's a three-way race in the NFC North. I think, unfortunately, for the Vikings, especially given a couple of major offseason issues slash injuries, people aren't really talking about them that much, except for just kind of feeling bad that people are getting injured left and right. But I'd say when Packers are talking a lot about the Bears and not the Lions, it's not because they don't respect the Lions, but it's because they're trying to figure out what's going on with the Bears and if there's a three-way competition for the top or if it's more of a two-way.
That makes total sense. And we're going to get even a little bit more into that here in just a minute when we talk about the division as a whole. Last couple questions here. Now, I know you don't focus on the Lions, you're focused on the Packers. But is there any part of the Lions team that might concern you, meaning this might be a challenge for the Packers at some point this season when they face each other?
I think the offense is what I would say. Is that too generic? Is that too big to say?
No.
I think the offense has some guys that have their number, has Green Bay's number, realistically. And so with Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously, another former Trojan, we're doing a lot of USC talk, which is fine with me. I'm happy to talk Trojans. But he and Jaire Alexander have kind of gone back and forth. And, you know, some of those games, Amon-Ra is really walking away with the win there. And then I'm looking at the roster right now. And I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, very, very legit. And then David Montgomery's been around in the NFC North, so he knows. So given the weapons that are returning to the Lions, I would say their offense versus the Packers defense, especially when the Packers defense were not looking their best last season, the Lions showed them, hey, you got some issues with your defensive structure and your scheme, and we're going to take advantage of that. Second game, the Packers figure things out. I'd say that was more of a whole team effort. But now, as the Lions continue to develop those connections and continue to be strong with Jared Goff, say Amon-Ra would love to go up against Xavier McKinney, and we'll see who gets the better of those two. And then on the ground with Gibbs and Montgomery, I'm eager to see if that new 4-3 scheme is able to get some penetration, maybe get some tackles behind the line of scrimmage. But when you're being really aggressive and you're on your toes and you're attacking, if you get burned, you can get burned. So those are those three players primarily, those are kind of who I would be keeping my eye on.
That makes a lot of sense. Those are some big playmakers. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe after the Lions beat the Packers in the first game, David Montgomery was like, well, this is what it's like to beat Green Bay or something like that because
Exactly.
of.
He's like, oh, is this what it's like all the time? I haven't done it when I was in Chicago.
Right. So, well, where do you think the Packers might find success against the Lions this year? Let's turn it around. Where can they, what do they have that you think is going to be, hey, this is a good matchup this year, and we think that it might work well for Green Bay?
Are you annoyed if I talk about the wide receivers again? Can I just say the wide receiver, the receiving core?
Definitely say it, 'cause
It
yeah.
just I don't want to sit here and say this is the best wide receiving core I've ever seen, but I cannot overemphasize how the depth in the Packers pass catching room, both tight end and wide receiver, and even Josh Jacobs, the team has been very complimentary of his pass catching ability. I cannot overemphasize how in any given moment there are eight or nine players who are a very solid target.
Wow.
So you can put your guy on Christian Watson. You can put your guy on Romeo Doubs. And then here comes Josh Jacobs, who and gets a 20, I don't know, gets 20 yards off a catch. And you're thinking, okay, well, now we're going to put our guy on him. Well, then Dontayvion Wicks subs in. Okay, well, and I could just keep going. So I really do think the pass catching of this team, the depth there makes it really hard to defend because it's hard to know where you're going to put your resources in any given moment when three new faces sub in every other play.
All right, that makes sense. And in response to that, I want to kind of take a page out of your book from last year and say, don't judge the Lions' defensive backs on the first half of the season. judge him on the second half because we traded for Carlton Davis. He's new, but he's experienced. And our two top draft picks, Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw, are going to be playmakers. I firmly believe in this league, and I think by the end of this season, you're going to see them get really comfortable. And we brought in other guys as well. And so you have a lot of new guys who have to learn to work with each other within the system and trust each other and kind of feel what the other person's doing in that moment. So I'm going to say with that, I do think the Lions secondary is going to develop into a strength. I just think it might take some time to get there.
And that totally makes sense because that's what the Packers offense needed to do last year. They needed to spend more time working together as a unit before it was fair to say who they were or were not.
All right, well, we're at that point now. We got to talk division. Packers won the division last time in 2021. It was 3 years in a row streak that they had done that. And then the Vikings won in 22 and the Lions last year. Again, you and I were pretty spot on. We picked the Lions to win. We picked the Packers probably in second. And then the Bears and Vikings after that. And so that's how it went down. What are your thoughts on this upcoming season? Do you, you know, considering, you know, health and all that as it would be, but what are your thoughts on the division?
So I think it'll probably be the same order, but closer. So I think the Lions might win by one game, one or two games, but I think that the Packers could be okay with that if they make the playoffs and beat the Lions in the playoffs. So I think that's kind of the focus, is making sure the team makes it in the postseason and does well. I'm not saying Super Bowl or bust, but I'm saying pretty close. I mean, getting to the NFC Championship game would be a factor. So if the Packers had a couple of those games where, you know, they just needed to figure some things out, but in the end they put it together like they did last season, then I think that would be successful. I think, like I mentioned, the Bears are exciting, intimidating maybe, but because you don't know what it is and if it's legit. And it's hard to have a lot of faith in the quarterback development of the Chicago Bears organization. But as a USC Trojan, I have really loved watching Caleb Williams, and I wish him nothing but the best as an individual player. As a Packers beat reporter, I'm very excited to see what the Bears, Packers, and Bears Lions new rivalries look like with these new faces. So I personally think the Lions will win by maybe one game. Then it will be the Packers, and then the Bears will be a step below, but not too far. And then I think it'll round out with the Vikings, who are kind of having to figure some things out right now.
So Lauren, you just told me how good the Packers are going to be throughout this whole show, and you're still picking the Lions to win the division.
I think so. I think, like I said, I think it will be one game, though. So given that, it could also be the Packers win by one game. I don't feel confident saying that either team is going to run away with it. And even last year, you said, based on the numbers, the Lions won by three games, but the Packers were one, like the team says, one play away from meeting the Lions again in the postseason. So when it comes to that, those three games, did they quote unquote really matter? I mean, you can obviously focus on the seeding in the postseason and therefore who had the easier path, whatever. But I do think the Lions haven't done anything that would make me think that they've regressed. And the Packers continue to improve, but they are implementing a brand new defensive scheme, and they are bringing in new players. And I think it'll be close. I think it'll be really close, and it'll be one game up or down.
It makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of logic behind that. And so here's a couple other things to point out. I kind of feel the same way you do. I think the Lions are going to win, but I think it's going to be by maybe one game. I think it's going to be closer than last year. And, you know, before the J.J. McCarthy injury and the other things that have happened in Minnesota, I thought Minnesota and the Bears were right there. I do think it's going to be a very tough division. If Caleb Williams does what most people are expecting, that they could be fighting for a playoff spot very easily because there is so much talent on that Chicago roster. Now, just want to share with you, I've already spoken with someone from Minneapolis and someone from Chicago. They both picked the Packers to win the division.
Really?
Yeah, so I totally thought you were going to say the Packers too.
Well, I could just be being conservative because I did spend the whole podcast talking about how great they are, but they're a very, very solid team. Bear in mind, I'm coming off watching joint practice with the Ravens where the Packers really held their own, but that's the caliber. The Ravens are a great team to measure up against with the best defense in the league, and the Packers held their own. But I think we've seen half a season of really, really good Jordan Love. I want to believe, for the Packers' sake, for their scouting sake, and for Jordan's career, that that was not the fluke. I want to believe that that is actually how good he is. But I need to see a couple more games in this new season to know that it wasn't just a heater. I that's how I personally feel. I want to see more games before, I mean, I'm never jumping on a bandwagon. I'm a reporter. I'm just covering the team. But before I can sit here confidently and say, hey, watch out, they were totally right. But smarter football minds than mine believe that they are right. So that's probably why I'm saying the Lions, just because I need to see 2024 Green Bay Packers in action. Jordan Love, new contract, wide receivers continuing to develop. I just need to see some actual games.
That makes a lot of sense, and I love it when arguments are made with logic and not just your heart. I respect that, and you know, I honestly hope your prediction comes true for the regular season.
Of course you do.
But yeah, well, the NFC North is going to be that much more intense this year. I do believe probably every team has improved. Even Minnesota in their current state has added some key additions, and every team's going to be very difficult this year, and schedules are different and all that. So, Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to talk Lions and Packers football with us today.
Of course, Matthew. I always appreciate chatting with you.
And reminder, folks, Lauren is a sports reporter for the CBS affiliate WFRV-TV out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can find her work at wearegreenbay.com. Folks, that is the Green Bay Packers NFC North preview. I hope you've enjoyed that, as well as the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears one. Dropping tomorrow will be our Detroit Lions season preview, so please be on the lookout for that. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your family. Like, comment on socials. Subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.